CGTV.
Women are on the earth to bear witness that God is beautiful. This is Martin Zender. I am the author of Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction. This book is available now at martinzender.com. Go there and be enlightened. I know some women might say, Martin, shame on you. You put a beautiful woman on the cover of your book. How do you know she's beautiful? All you can see is her lips. She might not be very beautiful or what we would think of beautiful, but I contend to you, and I say this to encourage every woman is beautiful. Yes, I truly believe this, and this is why I'll give you a little secret here. This is the mystery of makeup. I'm not going to do a whole show on makeup, but it is astounding, as I've shared with you before, that women have this remarkable capacity to beautify themselves, and men don't have it. We don't change. What you see is what you get, but women do. So I encourage women. I realize that probably a lot of women they rebel against the idea because they think that this is them being sexualized. And then they feel objectified. Let me say this. Men and women, just the fact that there are men and there are women, that is sexualization. We need to quit treating sexual topics as though they're taboo, as though sex is a three-letter word. This is of God. God did this, and He delights in the extravagances. God loves extravagances. I again remind you, Revelation chapter 21, that the New Jerusalem descends from heaven. This is the first we hear of this amazing city coming down from God onto the new earth. And the first thing He says about it is the New Jerusalem adorned as a wife adorned for her husband. The adornment of this amazing city is compared to a woman being adorned. More proof, yet more proof, that my contention is correct. Women are a parable of life, and they're a parable of God, and they're a vision of God. Just for the entertainment purposes here, I'm going to show you photographs of famous women with and without makeup to show you that women do have this capacity. And if you don't think you're beautiful, put on a little makeup, and I guarantee you that you will be beautiful. Here is Adele. Yeah, this is Adele with and without makeup. How about that? And here is Katie Holmes. Yeah, used to be married to Tom Cruise, who looks beautiful all the time. Here's a somewhat scary thing. Tyra Banks. Yeah, how do you like that? Here is glam girl herself, Katy Perry. I'm not sure anybody would look at the without makeup pictures and say, oh, that's a beautiful woman. Surely they wouldn't say this with Drew Barrymore. But with a little effort, a little application, yes, you too can look beautiful. And why not? God put you on earth to be a testament that He is beautiful. This is one of your roles. Embrace it. Go with the flow. Go with the flow. And I know I'll speak on the objectification issue, because many women think that men objectify them. And in order to explain this, you have to look at the situation in Eden. Okay, because this is where it all began. In the Garden of Eden, of course, we know Adam was created first, and then God put him to sleep. Great things happen when men are put to sleep. And from him, God took a woman. Somebody thought it was, quote, silly and ridiculous that Adam contained or Adam possessed both genders before Eve was removed from him. I wouldn't know what is silly or funny or ridiculous about that. It is the most sublime, most beautiful, most glorious spiritual truth, especially when you see that in the resurrection of the body of Christ, there is, once again, neither male nor female. There's just one humanity, one humanity. And the two in the sexual union, that's what I call 6 inches into the kingdom. There's a small microcosm of what God's going to do on a vaster, grander scale. So there's Adam, and he wakes up from this operation, and he sees a being that he's never seen before. And it is Eve. And keep in mind now, Adam knew everything on the horizon. He had been around for a while, I'm not sure how long, but he knew what everything, where everything was, he knew what everything looked like, and here was a being who looked somewhat like him. I explain all this in the book. You need this book. Looked somewhat like him, but with some eye-arresting differences. And so Adam, the first thing he does is he focuses on the differences. He said, well, she's got a head like me, she's got two arms, she's got two legs, but whoa, something's missing there in the middle. So, zoom, he's fascinated by that, fascinated. And then he has breasts, but hers are larger, and so, zoom, focuses on that, stares at him. Adam is the, probably never since Adam has a man enjoyed such unfettered staring. Without having to apologize for it. Yeah, he stared at the differences. Oh, and that waist-hip ratio. Oh, that's magical. The waist-hip ratio is magical. That is very attractive to men. Why? The stupid evolutionists will say, they're wrong anyway, because evolution is false. They will say, men choose women with wider hips because they will better be able to bear the man children. That is so freaking ridiculous that it ought to be tacked up on a dartboard and have darts thrown at it, or it ought to have pies thrown at it. It ought to be mocked and ridiculed. That's absolutely freaking ridiculous. It's the fact that men love differences. We love how women are different than us, and yet where Adam was straight, Eve went like this. It's the waist hip ratio, and I talk about the waist hip ratio in great detail here. And I have a nice waist-hip ratio picture here. Look at this. This is a waist-hip ratio for you. Yeah, there it is. The waist-hip ratio. And some women are concerned that they're overweight. You might be a large woman, but almost every woman has a ratio. Surveys have proven that a waist-hip ratio in women between 0.67 and 0.80 is to men what peanut butter is to a mouse. They just zing, they go right to it. If you want to figure out what your waist hip ratio is, you divide the circumference of the waist by the circumference of the hips. The lower the number, the more men stutter. All right, there it is. The lower the number, the more men stutter. But most women have this waist hip ratio. It is a beautiful thing. So Adam, zing, he focuses on the differences. Woo, what's this? Look at these breasts. Her chest is fascinatingly different. And the absence of what he had in the region between the legs and the belly. Well, wasn't that interesting? And the lucky guy gets to stare without having Eve roll her eyes at him. Now, with Eve, think of this. When she appears on the scene, everything is new to her. So it's not like she focuses on the differences, because everything is different. Understand, Adam, there's only a few things that are different. One, this being, this creature, sorry, but yes, she's a creature to him. And then the differences, and he looks at those differences, and men have done it ever since. But to her, everything is new, so she looks for understanding. And she's trying to find understanding from the first thing that looks smarter than a coconut, and to her it's Adam. So she understands that his eyes are the portals of knowledge and information and knowing. She wants to understand what's going on. So women ever since have sought that. You might say, I'm not even going to say, but you could say, well, it's more noble to be like Eve. It's not more noble. It's just different. It's different. I don't know why people want the sexes to be the same. That would be terribly dull. Again, God loves differences. Oh, I am linking you to a video down here today. Somebody mentioned this video on my first show on this topic. It's an old Candid camera show from 1965. And in this Candid camera episode, they took, so they had some kids sitting in a classroom and they introduced their new teacher to them. And then they introduced a new teacher to girls and a new teacher to the boys. For the girls, the new teacher was handsome. They put very beautiful people. And the girls, they showed the girls' faces when this handsome man shows up, and then they talk among themselves when he leaves the room. It's absolutely great to see. I'm not saying that girls don't look at men and think, wow, that guy's beautiful, he's a hunk, or whatever. So there is a reaction. But then they introduce this svelte, lovely teacher to the boys, and their reaction is priceless. Absolutely priceless. It's of God. There's nothing wrong with it. It's 1965, so people could get away with that. The kids today would probably be thrown in jail. Their parents would panic. They'd put them on medication. They'd call the principal. They'd be expelled from school, and they would turn into criminals just for having a healthy reaction to a beautiful woman. Priceless. Priceless. Watch the video linked below. Now, you're not going to get this from anyone but me. I'll tell you that right now. I think I'm the only one that's ever noticed this in the scriptures. This is in Song of Solomon. And you know, Song of Solomon, very sexual book. It's loaded with sexual inferences, the celebration of body parts, of necklaces and sandals, and just, it's rife with the scent of sex. Yeah, Song of Solomon, fantastic book. Now, in chapter 5, verses 11 through 16, the bride of Solomon revels in her husband. And she starts describing him very poetically, very sensually. It's so interesting where she begins to describe him. And in Song of Solomon chapter 7, he describes her. And as far as I know, I'm the only guy who's looked at the order of these things that are mentioned and notices that they are different. What she notices first about him is different than what he notices first about her. This is divine. God did this. It's beautiful. And I bring it to you here today for the first time. Here's the chart. I'm actually make it into a chart in the book. And I've never seen this anywhere else. I, Martin Zender, discovered this. I'm a pioneer. Here. Read it for yourself. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 11 through 16. She loves, in order, his one, head. Starts with his head. Starts with his head. Two, his locks. Three, his eyes. See, she's right here. She starts here. Four, his cheeks. Still hasn't gotten off his face. Five, his lips. Still hasn't gotten off his face. Six, his hands. His hands. She describes his hands. Only till at number seven does she get to his abdomen. We're already at number seven, and there's 10 things in each list. I'm telling you, this is phenomenal. 10 things in each list. She doesn't get to his abdomen till number 7. Then number 8, she mentions his legs. Number 9, being a woman, she notices his overall appearance. And 10, she goes for his mouth. Dives in finally to his mouth. Number 10. Now, what does he notice about her? This is great. The first thing he notices, number 1, is her feet. You might be shocked. I'm not. I totally get it. He talks about her sandals too. How lovely are your feet in sandals? This guy's a bit of a foot fetishist. Oh, fetishists. Let me straighten things out for everybody here. especially women who think they're being objectified, say when a man admires their legs. Okay, let's just say that a man admires the legs of a woman. He could be called a fetishist. Now, I know that some fetishism has to do with objects, and I'll get to that too. You're gonna learn a lot here. But some people can fetishize body parts. Let me tell you ladies something right now. There's not a man on the planet who, if your legs were removed from you, if your legs were sitting over in a corner, that a man would admire them. No. He's only admiring your legs because they're attached to you. He actually does understand that there's a person here, contrary to bad press that men have gotten on this topic. Yes. Same with feet. It goes back to, why does Solomon notice his bride's feet first? Because he's going down, he's going to work up. He's going to get to her head later. But right now, it goes back to Christ washing the feet of the disciples. The subtitle of this book is How Women Are Like God and Why Men Want to Worship Them. And when a man has a desire to worship a woman, it starts at her feet. We see men who propose to women, they get down on their knee, and where are they? They're at the feet of the woman. It's a wonderful, happy place for a man to be. It's absolutely beautiful. It means that he's beginning his worship of her, and that's where Solomon begins his worship of his bride, at her feet. Number two, her hips. Oh yeah, totally get that. And I got a picture here. I got a hip picture here too. I'm giving away the whole book here, but yeah, we get some waist hip ratio action going on there too, but we have the hips. Love the hand on the hip. Look at that. That's confidence. That's great. Great confidence. Number two, hips. Number three, her navel. Yeah, he describes her belly button as a goblet. And I think he wants to fill it full of wine. I think he might even mention that and drink from it. Why not? You know, I mean, you're the richest guy in the world. You should be able to do what you want. But see, this is as if somebody is looking on, and Solomon and his bride are on candid camera. And so they're not self-conscious. And this is where they naturally go. She goes head, locks, eyes, cheeks, lips, hands, abdomen, legs, appearance, mouth. Okay, for him, we're at his feet. He's at her feet. Then moves to her hips. Describes them, I forget it. It's just erotic as hell when you read how Solomon describes his bride's hips. Number three, her navel. Special attention to the navel. Number four, belly. Now you see, she just, on her side of this equation, she just goes to the abdomen. She sees the abdomen. That's just one thing. There's his abdomen. But to a man, a woman's abdomen is a treasure trove. There's so many things going on there. We can spend the day describing the marvels of the female abdomen. So this is why he goes to the navel, and then he goes to the belly, because he's a specialist, he's specializing. Love the guy for this, and you ought to as well. Five, her breasts. Oh yeah, see, by the time he gets to her breasts, she hasn't gotten past his lips, she hasn't even gotten past his head, and he's worked his way from her feet, hips, navel, belly, and breasts. So he's concentrating on those for a while. Number six, her neck. Oh yeah, it's a wonderland there, ladies. Your neck is a wonderland. I forgot my cologne. I think I should run over and get it. I don't wanna interrupt things here. I always use my cologne when I talk about this. Tomorrow I'll have it, because wait to hear what I'm gonna tell you tomorrow. Finally, number seven, he gets to her eyes. Well, that's nice. It's nice that he finally got to her eyes. This is common. There's nothing wrong with this. Yes, men are very visual. Yes, we notice differences. It doesn't mean we objectify you. It doesn't mean we don't see you as a whole person. If you think we do, we're not interested in your decapitated legs. They're only important to us when they're connected to you, because we love you, don't you see? Number eight, her nose. Not sure about that one. Okay, it's a Solomon thing. I don't understand it, but okay. To each their own. Number nine, her head. And number 10, her hair. Oh, yes. You're a goddess. You're a goddess. You're inherently one. Just let God know that you want to inhabit the role and make the world a better place, because you will be making the world a better place for both men and for women. And then, by doing so, you will acknowledge your part of the grand parable. And it is that you, women, are on this earth to show the inhabitants of the world that God is beautiful. And we are happy admirers of it.